from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. What an honor to have you with us today. Wow. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Not sure what's... Yeah, there we go. Interesting. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. So, one of the interesting things I've noticed here over really the past 7-8 months of the Trump administration is a lot of Democrats are out there. And publicly, most of them still hate Trump. They loathe Trump. They despise him. But they only do because he's Trump, right? It's not that they disagree with his policies at all. And this crime thing is really fascinating because it is sweeping across the nation. And so now you have cities from Salem, Oregon, all the way to Portland, Maine, and everywhere in between. And they're out there just wishing that Trump would bring the same sort of force to their communities, their neighborhoods. I mean, it really is that bad. And so privately, they're cheering on President Trump. Publicly, they're calling him a racist or a xenophobe. But behind closed doors, you've got folks out there within the Democrat Party, and they're absolutely thankful that this guy is doing what he's doing right now. Now, they publicly, they'll still call him a xenophobe and a racist and a homophobe or whatever. But they know that the people, the citizens of these far-left cities that are run by Democrats, they have been all turned into war zones. And we live it every single day here in Memphis, Tennessee, and it's so bad. I just would not wish this on anybody, but I'll give you an example. Yesterday afternoon in broad daylight in a very nice area of town, an elderly woman was body slammed by these three savages. They body slammed the woman. They carjacked her. They crashed her car. One of the savages was arrested. The other two are still prowling the streets, probably looking for another elderly person to attack. And this is a normal way of life for us here. I don't want that for anybody. But you guys know in the Gainesville, Georgia area, you guys know that crime from Atlanta is moving up, spreading into your area. In Houston, you guys are dealing with it there. North Carolina, you guys are everywhere across America. There is a crime problem in this country, and it goes all the way back to Barack Hussein Obama. You can actually trace it. I mean, if you want to diagram all of this, it goes back to Obama and his soft-on-crime policies, but it goes beyond that because Obama was – it's a pretty brilliant strategy. I mean, devious and evil, but it was a brilliant strategy because he convinced the American people that police departments across the nation were racist, that all the cops hated black people, they hated minorities, and that at the end of the day, you could not trust the police. And so within that time span of when Obama was president to where we are now, you have a lot of young people that were raised in that sort of culture. And nobody fears the cops anymore. Nobody. And I'll say this, I've seen a lot of photos from predominantly white communities where they're playing the same kind of game with cops. So it's not just a black issue. It's all, I mean, it is across the board an issue in this country among all races. Kids were raised not to respect the police. So therefore, we have lawlessness. And we see it every single day here in Memphis. With the young scholars out there, you know, doing the drive-by shootings and the carjackings and the murders and whatnot. And then you have the police. And we had our police chief, who was a diversity hire in Memphis. The outgoing mayor, a white guy, said he wanted to hire the city's first black female police chief. It turns out she wasn't qualified for the job. And so yesterday she announced that crime in Memphis was at an all-time low, six-year low, all major crime, six-year low. If you believe the police chief, there is no crime in Memphis, Tennessee anymore. Contrasting what Cash Patel, the FBI director, said, last month, that our city is the most dangerous city in America, the homicide capital of America. And again, they're cooking the books. Or, and I have a theory on this, because this is happening in other cities as well, where they're now saying these Democrat mayors, these diversity hire police chiefs are coming out, and they're saying, oh, crime's at an all-time low. It's a perception problem. You people just perceive you're in danger, so therefore, that's on you. Go see a therapist. I mean, that's what they're saying. So my theory is that maybe, just maybe, when they're cooking the books, they're just not counting the crime committed by the minority communities. Or, as they do here in Memphis, say you've got 30 cars in downtown that have been vandalized. They count that as one crime. So it's really all about how you count the numbers here. But I still think a lot of folks out there are cooking the books, and they caught the commander, the D.C. police commander, and he's been suspended. He's being investigated because he got caught fudging the numbers. So anyway, here's a black business owner in D.C. Laughing at a reporter. Cut number one.
Ate much of what they took. Instead, they just trashed the place, as this video obtained by our news partner WTOP shows. We asked the couple what they think of President Trump's plan to federalize city police and deploy more officers and the National Guard.
I'm telling Trump, just send the boys to Ben Arrow because this is crazy. And then you see Dollar Tree closing, but CVS closed down, 7-Eleven closed down. We trying to put a store in your community, then you do this.
This is the CVS she mentioned that closed. At the next closest one on H Street, you can't even so much as buy a $2 bottle of soap without asking an employee to unlock the display case.
The city keeps saying crime is down, but do you feel safe?
No, I don't think so. Crime is down. Crime is up.
In D.C.? Who told that lie?
So everybody knows. Everybody knows. And they just don't want to give Trump credit because it's Trump, ladies and gentlemen. That's what's really going on here. Meanwhile, you've got the mayor of Oakland, California, Barbara Lee, and she's out there saying that Trump really just has a problem with black and brown people. Take a listen.
Let me just say also, it's not lost on anyone that the cities that he is calling out, first of all, have large numbers of black and brown people. Secondly, the crime rate is going down in all of these cities. Thirdly, they're all headed by black mayors. Now, what does that say? What does that picture paint? So we all know who he is.
Yeah, I'll tell you what picture it paints. It tells me that when you put diversity hires, when you put race, skin color, ahead of actual qualifications, you get chaos at City Hall. That's what that picture tells me. But it also tells us something else, and there is a problem within the black community, no doubt about it. And I would look, if this was a problem in the white community, I would be having that conversation as well. But here in Memphis, Tennessee, according to the crime stats, over 90% of the crime is committed by black people in this community. So what you have to do is you have to address that issue and say, okay, well, why is that happening? Why is it happening in Oakland, California, or Los Angeles, or Washington, D.C., or New York City? Are we talking about a cultural problem? Are we talking about the fact that the policies coming from the Democrat presidential administrations going all the way back to LBJ have been meant to destroy, to weaken the black family in America? Do we want to have that conversation? So, again, I'm just excited that President Trump is playing hardball here, and it's causing a lot of people angst. It really is. But I say God bless President Trump because he's doing the right thing. Here's Morning Joe. Again, this is MSDNC. They all live there, right? So they can't ignore it. And I'm just glad they're finally admitting it. Take a listen.
The answer to this problem for Democrats is not, oh, everything's okay. There's nothing to see here. Move along. Oh, Washington has dropped 24% or whatever in crime. Well, let me give you some other numbers. The Washington Post took a poll in late April, early May. 91% of Washington residents say crime is a problem. 91%. 51%, it is an extremely serious problem. And John Heilman, we've had people before put this in racial terms. And this is what I must say, this is one thing that I think Democrats have gotten so wrong about crime. So wrong about crime. Let me just read the Washington Post here. There are stark divides among lines of race and income in the poll, with black residents and lower income residents significantly more worried about crime than white residents and those with higher incomes. As they were last year, black women are among the most concerned, with 65% saying crime is a very or extremely serious issue, compared with 82% who said the same thing last year.
So there you have it, folks. By the way, you want to know why? You want to know why things are so bad? I want to go back. We're going to hop into the Todd Stern Show, Time Machine, and we're going to go back to the Biden administration. This is KJP, and she's talking about House Democrats, 173 House Democrats, backing a D.C. law to reduce penalties for major crimes. Again, if you're trying to figure out why are we having such a problem here, this is the reason why. Take a listen.
I did talk to the team, and we have a couple of things that I just want to lay out for all of you and on what the D.C. bill does. It reduces maximum penalties for offenses like murders and other homicides, armed home invasion burglaries, armed carjackings, as I mentioned, armed robberies, unlawful gun possession, and some sexual assault offenses.
Wow. And we're surprised? Really? No. Look, the Democrats in Congress want the chaos. They want this happening because they can take even more control. What President Trump is doing, and the reason why he's focusing on Washington, D.C., and I get this, I get it. Not only is it our nation's capital, but he has to live there. And he doesn't want his family members, I'm sure he doesn't want members of his administration to become victims of crime. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy, just a few days ago, they had a porch pirate. They actually stole boxes off the front porch of the Secretary of Transportation, for crying out loud. 901-260-5926. All I'm asking is, Mr. President, send the National Guard into Memphis and let's clean up our city. And I know many of you want the National Guard to show up in your town, in your community. Let's go to the phone lines here. Greg in Georgia. Greg, what's on your mind?
I was just thinking all these blue cities have the same answer that crime is down. Really, crime is flourishing and abounding. The only thing that's down is the prosecutions of crime, and they only count the prosecuted crimes. So if they say 90% of them aren't being prosecuted or not actually charging them for the crimes, and then they're getting their statistics from those numbers, and all these blue cities and blue areas are playing that same game, saying, oh, crime is down. No, crime's flourishing. Prosecutions are down.
We were talking yesterday on the show with Dalton Glasscock out of Wichita, Kansas, which is a medium-sized city for, I think, 400 or 500 people. They have, and their police department is equipped. They are backed by City Hall, and they are tough on the criminal thugs. They don't have the level of crime that we would see in a place, say, for example, like, you know, Atlanta. And Greg, I mean, you live in that area of North Georgia. You know what happens when the crime becomes so bad. You're going to start seeing a lot of businesses, a lot of shopping malls. They're all going to start shutting down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Greg, thank you for the call. Thank you for listening. 901-260-5926. And that may be part of the cooking of the books. It's a matter of the prosecutable crimes and how many are actually prosecuted. A lot of these towns now have the cashless bail, like New York City, And you could go and you could knock somebody upside the head with the baseball bat. All you'd have to do is show up and they let you right out of jail. That has actually happened in New York City. All right, we got to take a break. This is the Todd Stern Show. A major retail chain just canceled a massive order, leaving MyPillow with an overstock of classic MyPillows. Now it's your gain. For a limited time, MyPillow offering their entire classic collection at true wholesale prices. Get a standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Want more? Upgrade to a queen size for only $24.98 or king size for $29.98. Snag body pillows for $39.98 and versatile multi-use pillows for just $12.98. Visit MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 to score these amazing deals. Plus, when your order totals $75 or more, you'll receive $100 in free digital gifts, no strings attached. That's right, premium pillows at unbeatable prices and bonus gifts to top it off. Don't wait. Head to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 now. And don't forget to use promo code STARNS to grab your standard MyPillow for only $19.98 while supplies last. So Chuckie Schumer, the minority leader in the Senate, says, I don't know what all the fuss is about here. I've lived in D.C. for years. I feel perfectly safe walking around here. Yeah, well, that's because Chuck Schumer has a full-time security detail paid for by the American taxpayers. So if I had three or four guys with guns walking alongside me, I'd feel pretty darn safe, too. Come on, Senator, do better. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Don in South Carolina. Now, Don, I understand you're retired NYPD.
Yes, that's correct, sir.
All right. Well, Don, what's going on?
Well, I was listening to what your subject was, and let me tell you something. You may not be aware of this. I want to open your eyes. There's something called plea bargaining. You may lock up a guy for a felony carjacking. Well, the DA will only prosecute him for a misdemeanor. It's make a deal. And the public doesn't know this. All you got to do is sit in arraignment and you watch what would happen. And that used to peeve us off. I'm locking a guy up, going through all of this stuff, chasing him down, lights and sirens, lock him up. The DA only wants to prosecute him for a misdemeanor. It's all a game. These guys are full of crap, Todd.
Don, they are full of crap. And I know here we have a George Soros-style DA by the name of Steve Mulroy, and the guy just will not go after the bad guys. And it is so frustrating. And a lot of people, even in the face of all of this, Don, they will still continue to vote for the Democrats. And we have got, there's got to be a way to break through this very destructive cycle in our politics where people have to wake up. Because this idea of you get what you vote for, yeah, I get that, Don. But, I mean, what are we going to do with these cities now that they've been destroyed? I mean, that's the big question.
You know, Todd, the people are supposed to run the city. And they elect these district attorneys. And they need to fire them because these guys are serving, they're there to serve you. And if we have to have these DAs come to the precinct, and they would give us this song and dance, except that we knew more than what they were doing. And we let the public know. And I had a guy one time, okay, his car.
Don, I hate to do this to you, my friend, but we are coming up on a hard break. But I am curious, how do we break that cycle? How do we break through, ladies and gentlemen? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Well, this is interesting. Hello, everybody. Good to have you back with us. By the way, President Trump is going to be speaking from the Oval Office sometime during our show. We will dip in and bring that conversation to you live. Also, Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, is going to be holding a presser as well. We expect the governor is going to announce his plan to completely redistrict and gerrymander the entire state to remove all of the Republican lawmakers. I've got something to say about that, but I got to get to what I just teased a few seconds ago. So Judge Jeanine last night announced that there had been charges filed. You may have seen this video. We have it up on our social media feeds. There was a guy armed with a Subway sandwich. Well, Dylan, I think it was a foot long. I don't know. That may or may not be irrelevant. But I think it was a foot long. So the guy hurls the foot long Subway sandwich at a Border Patrol agent in Washington, D.C., some white dude, proving thugs come in all colors. So anyway, this white thug armed with the Subway sandwich is immediately taken down by authorities. And so now we understand the guy is actually facing charges. Let's take a listen to the judge.
An individual went up to one of the federal law enforcement officers and started jumping up and down, screaming at him, berating him, yelling at him. And then he took a Subway sandwich about this big and took it and threw it at the officer. He thought it was funny. Well, he doesn't think it's funny today because we charged him with a felony, assault on a police officer. And we're going to back the police to the hilt. So there, stick your Subway sandwich somewhere else.
I love this woman. She is a national treasure, Judge Jeanine is. And, you know, a lot of people were mocking her and saying that she was some, like, crazy lunatic, just a TV news anchor. This woman is a very well-educated member of the legal community. And she is bringing law and order back to our nation's capital. So now it turns out, and this is the bombshell, the guy who hurled the Subway sandwich, he works for the Justice Department, ladies and gentlemen. What is Pam Bondi doing over there? So Bondi just came out with a statement. She says, I just learned the defendant worked at the Department of Justice no longer. Not only is he fired, he's been charged with a felony. Now, I want you to just think about something for a moment. When we talk about the deep state, you know, when people were saying, oh, it's not really a thing, you know, these people are conspiracy theorists, it's, you know, these talk radio guys. No. The guy hurling the Subway sandwich, he's a deep stater. Do you understand we've really had a shadow government operating for years in our nation's capital? These unelected bureaucrats who stay there 30, 40, 50 years of their career. And all of them are, just about all of them, are far leftist. So I'm glad they're going after them, but we've got to root out all these people. And the idea that you can have an employee of the Justice Department physically assaulting federal officers trying to clean up the streets of Washington, D.C., it ought to be shocking, but honestly, I'm not sure it is all that shocking. Anyway, Bondi saying, this is an example of the deep state that we have been up against for 7 months as we work to refocus the DOJ. You will not work in this administration while disrespecting our government and law enforcement. Yeah, oh, there you go. All right. By the way, Trump is starting to get frustrated with Pam Bondi. And he pointed this out in his press conference. He actually called her out and said, you know, I certainly, talking about Russia, Russia, Russia. He says, yeah, I hope we start to see some movement here. So it's like, come on, Pam Bondi, what's going on over there? Because we're, what, 8 months into the administration now, and we haven't, nobody of importance has been arrested. No charges have been filed, nothing. All of those files from various and sundry big things, yeah, those haven't been released either. So, I don't know why. I wish I did, but something is just not right about all of that. 901-260-5926. I do have an idea, though, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. I have an idea, and I'm wondering, how do we, as far gone, as far lost as the culture is right now, where lawlessness is accepted, and I say that because you just go to a go to Six Flags or go to one of these amusement parks on the weekend, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Book a Carnival cruise line, and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's like Walmart on the water. If you really want to understand what it's, just try booking a flight on Spirit Airlines and see how that goes for you. That's like the Walmart of the air. I've never seen anything like it. It's just non-stop violence. The teachers, the schools, I mean, they're filled with reports of kids gone wild. And I'm just curious. I mean, how do you fix all of that? And I just have a thought, and I'm just curious to get your take on it. I believe that we have to bring back the death penalty nationwide. And that when you've got people out there committing these murders and whatever, and does carjacking rise to the level of a death penalty case? Well, if somebody gets hurt, yeah, I think so. But I think that executions ought to be public and they ought to be painful. Public and painful. And maybe the shock value will just lurch this country back into reality. Maybe. Because ultimately, you can have as many law enforcement out there. There was a guy they were interviewing yesterday. Or no, I'm sorry. He posted something on X. And this guy was a resident of D.C. And he was telling all of the street thugs, he was sending a message to them saying, hey, look, guys, you need to cool it for the next 30 days. The guy never actually condemned all the street thugs. He just told them to knock it off for the next 30 days. Otherwise, they might be in jail. And that is the question. I mean, what happens after 30 days? And I know the president extended the 30 days yesterday, but what happens beyond that? Are we going to have to have the military on the streets of American cities for an extended amount of time? So at what point do you say, you know what, how do we fix this? How do we shock the nation back to a sense of law and order? That's the big question. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Here is the senior legal analyst on CNN, Eli Honig, talking about all of this. And he actually agrees. Eli actually agrees with President Trump. Take a listen.
Yeah, so I've worked extensively with police, and I don't have a problem tactically with what Donald Trump is doing here. He doesn't have to be the most dangerous place on earth. Something can be improving, but still really bad. If your house is on fire and then a third of the fire goes out, it's less bad, but it could still be an emergency. I work in D.C. It is dangerous there. You cannot deny that. And a common police tactic is to surge resources. I've been part, we call them task forces. They're applauded across the board, across the political board. I've done it in New Jersey. I've done it in New York. You take the FBI, you team them up with the Newark PD, what have you. You make a visible presence. Now, is some of it for appearance and show? Yes, because what it does is A, it assures people. It gives people a bit of confidence and security, and B, it deters people from committing crime. So it's not going to hurt, and this is a situation that needs to be improved. I don't see why there's a problem, and I also reject the January 6th. Look, I've been 100% unambiguous critic of everything Donald Trump did on January 6th. I believe he should have been charged criminally. I believe the pardons were a disgrace. But why does that mean he can't do anything now to enforce the law to promote public safety?
Okay, well, let me back up for just a moment there. The reason why, sir, is that it appears whatever happened on J6 was a federal government operation conducted by deep staters within the Justice Department and the FBI. But that being said, I'm glad to see you coming along here and understanding, because everybody understands what's going on in our nation's capital and in some of these large cities. By the way, I've got to play this audio. Man, these folks infested with Trump derangement syndrome, they're off the charts crazy. And this is one of the reasons I don't eat out as much. Because around town, people know who I am. And that's not it's nice to be recognized. However, what this guy is encouraging people to do is one of the reasons why I don't like to go out a lot. Cut number 12, please.
Just so you know, anyone wearing a MAGA hat, MAGA shirt, or bragging about President Trump at a Mexican restaurant, the workers are spitting in their food. Yep, just so you know, if you're a MAGA representative, if you got the hat, the shirt, or you're talking about how you love Donald Trump, workers, Mexican workers across the country are spitting in their food. Yes, that seems to make everybody feel a little bit better. I know I feel better knowing that anyone wearing that awful attire is getting their food spat on.
And that's why I don't like going out to eat, because I do wear my MAGA hat out and about, and I'm proud to. But at the same time, I don't want somebody spitting in my food simply because, you know, they may not like my politics or they may hate President Trump. And gosh, what was it? Years ago, we had a lady, and we actually used this as an entire segment, and we had a lot of calls on this, where a lady called in and said that she loved Donald Trump, and she's a huge MAGA person, but she would not put a Trump bumper sticker on her car because she was afraid of being targeted. And she didn't want her car vandalized. She was afraid somebody might key the car or somebody might try to run her off the road. You see, that's what the left wants. The left wants you to live in fear. They want to silence you. Republicans, we don't do this kind of stuff. And if you are out there doing it and you claim to be a Republican, you're not. Because that's not who we are in this country. Our telephone number again, 901-260-5926. Going to have a great show, great lineup tonight as we talk about what's happening in California and Texas with the gerrymandering. You're going to want to watch the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax, too. By the way, Newsmax, our parent company, going public on the New York Stock Exchange, and millions are joining our news revolution. We are now the fourth highest rated news channel just behind CNN, and we need your help. You know, the more viewers we're going to be able to beat CNN, then we take on MSDNC, and then we take on the big guy. Reuters says we're one of the top news brands in America. By the way, I also want to encourage you to download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone. You can start watching right away. It takes like 30 seconds max. President Trump, big fan of what we're doing at Newsmax. So again, get that free Newsmax app. And if you want to check out the Newsmax shares on the New York Stock Exchange, go to NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
Hi, I'm Will, and I created IQBar to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. Millions of people rely on our protein bars and hydration mixes to win their day. Turns out Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry, is one of them. We've teamed up with Chef Keller to craft a bar and hydration mix that marry world-class flavor with exceptional nutrition. Our special edition salted caramel chip bar delivers all the decadence of a fine dining dessert plus protein minus sugar and carbs. And our zero sugar yuzu mango hydration mix packs an authentic citrusy punch and a mental boost from lion's mane and magnesium. The best part? 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Total no-brainer.
Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQBar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
And welcome back to the show. Let's go to the phone lines. Doug, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Doug. What's on your mind today?
Well, I've called before, you know, and I love your show. And like I say, what you do, the message you spread is so important because people really need to hear that there are alternatives to what the leftists want to tell us. So here's my message today. I think we are never going to have crimeless cities until the ghettos are repaired. This is why the black population talks about white privilege. The white privilege is that we don't have to live in the ghettos. I am not a leftist. I'm not a liberal. I'm a conservative. What I would say we need to do, I want to see training programs in all the trades set up in the ghettos. And there's no reason we can't do it. The buildings are empty. Why not that? Also, and which means the education system in the ghetto has to be fixed. Imagine being a young black kid in the ghetto. There's weeds growing everywhere. It looks like a battle zone. So I'm all for the military. I think we should have the military in the ghettos, not to arrest people, but to keep the thugs under control so that the good people, and there are so many, look at all the black churches. The black churches are full of some of the best people in America. but they have to live in the ghetto. I wouldn't want to live in the ghetto, but you can't move out. It's not easy to move out, although there is mobility in the black population. Now, 40 years ago when I was a kid, that wasn't true. You couldn't move about the South freely, but black folks can go anywhere they want. But it's a big step getting out of the ghetto. So, again, my plan would be let's institute, once again, the war on poverty. If we're going to send money to other foreign countries to help them, let's get into our cities. Let's get to these young people. Let's give them hope, because hope's there. Give them a job. Make them accountable. I think it's going to, but it's going to take a long time. It took a long time to build the ghettos.
Well, but Doug, let me hop in here for just a second, though. But a lot of these ghettos and the housing projects, they're being torn down and they're being rebuilt at great cost to the taxpayers. Now, keep in mind, the taxpayers paid for the original public housing units. And I'll give you an example here in Memphis. They tore down a really bad housing project and they rebuilt it with hundreds of millions of dollars, turning it into what was supposed to be a nice middle-class neighborhood. It did not. I mean, they spent all this money, hundreds of millions of dollars, and then they turn around and city leaders, and this was several years ago, city leaders were begging for $30 million to transform the neighborhood again. And the headline in the local newspaper, the Commercial Appeal, city leaders hoped a $30 million federal grant would transform this neighborhood. Why hasn't it worked?
Well, you know, that's the most difficult question. And if I wanted to think a racist thought, I would think black people are not capable of doing this.
I don't believe that. I do not believe that.
And neither do I. That's the beauty. I was just at a convenience store, and there's this thin black guy loading ice into an ice machine. You know, he's got a route. He's driving a semi. And I said to him, it's amazing. You're working so hard. He goes, well, you know, I want to stay in shape and I got to eat. And I thought, there you go. So, yeah, I agree. But where do we? The welfare has got to stop. The welfare has not worked. We've got to give people workfare. And I think we can do it. If we give business incentive to get out there, give people jobs, but they have to be accountable. They have to show up. They have to work hard. No more just checks for people who are just showing up to get a check. I believe it. I believe in the black population because I meet and see so many wonderful black people. I think it's a small percentage that ruin it. It would almost be as if the rednecks were speaking for all of us white folks. I mean, I love the rednecks, but, man, I don't need to spend all my time with them either. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, how are you going to get people to work and feel good about themselves? You tell me. I don't know. I'm going to always have hope. And I do think that we can, you know, building housing, free food, all this isn't working. We got to educate people. We got to give them a purpose.
When you give somebody something and no one's required to work for anything, nobody's going to take care of that. That's the bigger problem. Doug, thank you for the call. And again, I don't care. This is not about skin color. I mean, the left makes everything about skin color. But I will say this, that there is a large segment of the population. This has become the cultural norm, and it shouldn't be. And that is going to take a long, long time to fix. When you don't respect people like Dr. Ben Carson and Condoleezza Rice and Clarence Thomas as your elders, as people to aspire to be. Instead, you're going after the rap and the hip-hop artist and the gangbangers. You got a problem, and we got to fix it. We got to fix it, everybody. We've got to fix it. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We are expecting to hear from President Trump any moment now, and we'll dip into some of that. So, guys, just keep me alert when that happens. There's, you know, a lot of kids are back to school, and there have been a lot of new policies implemented. President Trump doing away with DEI, the radical sex and gender garbage. The schools are no longer supposed to be teaching any of that stuff. Well, there is a high school history teacher who is making the rounds on social media. And she made an interesting observation about the teenagers in her history class. And again, we're on day two, day three of being back in school. And here's what the teacher, the high school teacher, had to say.
Today's August 12th, and it is our second day of school. I teach high school. I teach U.S. history. And it is getting to the point that I already am not sure what I'm going to say about some of the stuff that is going on. Because if you don't know teenagers, these kids are very aware of what is going on, and they want to talk about it, and they want to understand why these things are happening, and they are truly worried. And it's hard to prevent them from drawing certain conclusions when you look at things from a historical context. I know full well that we're going to spend a lot of time talking about World War II, and they're very interested in it. They're very interested in learning about Hitler. The gravity of me being their high school history teacher is not lost on me. I can really impact how they see our country and how they understand history, and I know how important that was for me as a student and even as an adult. There's still things I find out all the time that I was never taught, and I'm a history teacher, and I'm still learning new things about American history all the time. But we are, if you look at what is happening right now in a historical lens, we are undeniably following certain patterns and repeating certain historical, I don't know, I don't even like to say it, but it's just getting harder and harder to avoid. So it seems like if we are not already there, we are getting closer and closer to some kind of breaking point.
All right. So let's just follow the line of the narrative here. This history teacher says 2 days into classes resuming, and the children in her high school history class have come into, and instead of like, oh, what did you do this summer? The students literally are telling the teacher, I'm really concerned that Donald Trump is like Adolf Hitler. Is that really happening? Are you buying this narrative? I'd like to take things that never happened for $200, please. I'm not buying this. I'm not buying it. Anyway, we're going to keep an eye on this. There are going to be teachers out there, and it's going to take time. Here's what I would say. This teacher needs to be investigated. This teacher needs to be removed from the classroom, and she doesn't need to be anywhere near an area where she can influence the next generation of kids. That's really what we have to, and that's the level of attention that we have to things like this, because that woman is indoctrinated. I guarantee you she's been the one that's been bringing up the Hitler stuff. All right, let's go to the phones here, 901-260-5926. Richard in Ocala, Florida. Hi, Richard. What's on your mind?
Well, first thing, I want you to know I agree with 100% what you just said about that teacher. She needs fired immediately, and that's publicly. But back to this other guy that was claiming that the Mexicans are spitting in everybody's food, and he said it so gleefully. I think it's a crime to spit in somebody's food. I think, frankly, he ought to be picked up and questioned. And if he knows of any case, then I think them people need arrested and prosecuted. And also an answer to his question, we ought to come back and say, fine, if they're going to spit in our food, we'll totally quit patronizing all Mexican restaurants in America, and see how quick that puts a stop to that foolishness.
You know what, Richard? I love that idea, because you're right. It is a crime, you know, to do something like that. But, yeah, I've got no problem with that. And I would be surprised. I would truly be surprised. There are a lot of great family-owned Mexican restaurants out there, and I would be very surprised to learn if they were doing things like that. But clearly, this guy is encouraging it, so maybe he could be charged with aiding and abetting.
I like that. I'm all for it.
Yeah. Richard, it's insane. Did you ever think that we would the left would go this far, where they're just basically advocating violence and criminal behavior, even in restaurants?
Well, I'm afraid it's going to get worse, Mr. Todd, and that's what concerns me. I just hope the good Lord and Trump and a bunch of other people help get it turned around, but I'm afraid it's going to get worse before it gets better.
And that may happen, Richard, but I'm pretty confident, you know, that that if it comes to that, President Trump is going to do what needs to be done. And I honestly think that I think when you look at gun ownership in America, most conservatives own the weapons. If I was a betting man, that's where I'd go. Richard, God bless you, and hope things are going well down there in Ocala, Florida. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So there's an interesting story in the Los Angeles Times. Andrew Corey is the staff writer. And they're alarmed that President Trump may send homeless people to detention camps. You know, the Olympics are coming up in 2028, and there are people, according to the Times, and this is a very lengthy story, 8 pages. It's a lot of words. They are very concerned that the president is going to be putting homeless people in detention camps so that the city can be cleaned up in time for the Olympic Games in 2028. In recent weeks, Trump has appointed himself head of an Olympic task force and has seized control of local policing in Washington, declaring that homeless people will be given places to stay far from the Capitol. By the way, on that note, there's video on the socials of government workers bulldozing homeless encampments in D.C. Gary Blasi is a professor emeritus at UCLA and a leading homelessness researcher. Says, based on everything that's happened so far, I think you would have to be irrational not to worry about a worst-case scenario where federal troops are effectively forcing poor people on the street to relocate to what is essentially a detention center somewhere out of sight. Now, I just want to ask this question here because what is the percentage of people who are truly poor that have no place to go that are living out on the streets? What percentage are we talking about here? Because most of the homeless people out there, at least in the reporting that we have seen, most of the homeless people, and I've been in San Francisco, gosh, 5 or 6 years ago, and what I saw was a bunch of drug addicts and drunks. I did not come across any families that have been put out on the streets because they were poor. So I think we need to understand what kind of people are we talking about here. Now, Caroline Leavitt was asked about all of this at the press briefing yesterday, and she said that they are indeed exploring how they can move homeless people far from Washington, D.C., and that federal agents will be clearing homeless encampments and giving the people an option. You can either accept a shelter bed and services to help you, or you're going to go to jail and you're going to be fined. And it seems to me that is the more compassionate thing here. You're getting these people off the streets, you're getting them into shelters, and you're giving them some help. So this idea that Trump is going to be putting people into what, concentration camps? Come on, give me a break. And by the way, why haven't the city leaders in Los Angeles done anything? I mean, what's up with that? The L.A. County Board of Supervisors has ordered county staffers to develop an encampment plan for upcoming sporting events, including the 2026 World Cup and the Olympics. So this is happening at the local level. Mayor Karen Bass telling the Times that unlike during previous Olympics, she would not bus homeless people out of the city and would focus first on housing people. So I don't know. Here's a thought. Just want to throw this out there. But maybe, just maybe, instead of putting people in detention camps, maybe if Los Angeles is going to be so pro-homeless, maybe they could give the homeless people access to all of those beautiful new stadiums they're going to build. We could house the homeless in the multi-million dollar suites, the ones with the all-you-can-eat buffets and the beverage carts. Maybe we could give them access 24/7 during the Olympics to these facilities. That way, it's the best of both worlds. I'm just saying. Unbelievable. All right, got to take a quick break here, folks. We are waiting for President Trump. We'll dip into that conversation when that happens. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us today. Don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. I tell you, it's Elvis week here in Memphis. Tonight's the big candlelight vigil. There are thousands of people out there shutting down Elvis Presley Boulevard, and people with their candles, and they'll be singing Elvis songs. And it's a pretty fascinating thing. If you've never been down to Graceland, it's really worth the trip. Outside of the White House, it's the second most visited residence in America. Graceland. There you go. All right. This is Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary. Cut 18, please.
Over the course of the next month, the Trump administration will relentlessly pursue and arrest every violent criminal in the district who breaks the law, undermines public safety, and endangers law-abiding Americans. President Trump will not be deterred by soft-on-crime Democrats and media activists who refuse to acknowledge this rampant violence on our streets. He is going to make our nation's capital the most beautiful and safe city on earth, just as he promised on the campaign trail.
All right, there you have it. Scott Jennings on CNN explaining what's really going on here. Cut 19, please.
I don't know what's authoritarian about putting some extra eyes and ears on the street, getting criminals off the street to keep people from being murdered and carjacked. Nobody in their right mind believes Washington, D.C. is safe. And to say the president's trying to help us keep people from getting murdered and carjacked and we have to stop this authoritarian push, it's just sort of ridiculous rhetoric. These Democrats don't know what to do with themselves. Every time Donald Trump tries to do something, they reflexively feel the need to oppose it without thinking through the political implications for themselves.
You think Democrats are taking the bait?
Well, I think they're acting like idiots here. The city is crime-ridden. I saw a guy get murdered in Union Station in February at 4 in the afternoon. I saw the body hit the floor at the bottom of the escalator on the second floor. And so everybody who visits there, everybody who lives there knows it's a serious problem. You have extra eyes and ears. They've arrested criminals. They're getting illegal guns off the street. People feel safer. Tourists feel safer. What is the problem,
Margaret?
Well, the problem is Donald Trump came up with the solution. Isn't it interesting, though? This has been going on for so, so long, and the Democrats want people to live in fear. They truly do. And that's why they never did anything at all, and that's unfortunate. By the way, this just coming in, the Justice Department now sending demand letters to sanctuary cities, counties, and at least 12 states, warning them to either eradicate sanctuary policies or they will lose federal funding. That's you, Gavin Newsom. So I hope this happens. This should have already happened. And I don't know what the administration was waiting on. What was the Justice Department waiting on? We're 8 months into this. I thought we were shutting down the sanctuary cities right away. But anyway, I don't want to quibble. At least they're getting so they have issued a sternly worded warning again. And hopefully they will pay attention this time. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This story from Fox News. Man wanted a cheeseburger, but French girlfriend made him eat healthy meals instead. According to the reporting of Fox, a French woman's homemade dinner sparked fury from her American boyfriend. He wanted a cheeseburger. The woman said she moved from France to the United States 2 years ago. Gotta practice stronger border security, people. And has dealt with digestive issues ever since. She said, for some reason, American food makes me sick. Well, go home, lady. Go back to France. My body seems to struggle to digest it. Whether it's takeout or fancy restaurant food, I can't go to the bathroom for days or I'm violently vomiting. The French woman consulted medical professionals, and they told her her body was probably not used to the amount of salt and preservatives in American food. Well, that's what makes it tasty. I mean, come on, what do you want? After incorporating more whole food into her diet, her health improved. She wrote that she began meal prepping and cooking meals from scratch. One of her recipes, a delicious, she says, a delicious vegetarian lasagna made from scratch, and it caught the ire of her American boyfriend. When he asked what was for dinner, she said he rolled his eyes when he found out it was vegan lasagna. I'm surprised he didn't throw up. The woman's homemade vegetarian lasagna became a point of contention and tension within the relationship. She said he was sick of that organic crap and wanted a cheeseburger. And then the French woman said the comment hurt. She said he told her that it was unfair to make him eat her diet. This is true, right? The woman... This cracks me up. I'm not sure who's editing over at Fox News, but this is like a four-page story. This could, and I'm not even sure why it's a story. This is like a major story on FoxNews.com right now, which they got from Reddit, of all places. So journalism standards within the conservative world, not what they used to be. But may I just sum all this up for you? The problem is an American guy dating a French woman, right? That's the problem. You can't date the French. You really can't. And the food's not all that great over there. I'm just saying. I don't mean to be controversial. But anyway, how difficult is it, ma'am, to make a cheeseburger, make a hamburger for your boyfriend? Because American men, they don't eat that vegan crap. Come on. What's wrong with you? Unbelievable. All right. 901-260-5926. Now, I know some people are going to say, but if the guy really loved her, he would eat the vegetarian lasagna. I don't know if a guy can love a woman like that. I mean, French woman, cheeseburger. I think I'm going with the cheeseburger. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, President Trump is speaking right now. Let's dip into that for just a bit and see what the president's saying.
75,000, and that number's now even larger than that, Frank. It's an unbelievable job. And what that's doing is making the system strong. It's making it strong. Biden never kicked anybody off. Everybody joined. And we're carrying out historic deportations to remove many more illegals committing Social Security fraud. It's the Social Security fraud that was taking place at levels that nobody's ever seen. We cleared 12.4 million names listed in the Social Security database over 120 years of age. Think of that. So we had 12.4 million names where they were over 120 years old. Is that right? That's a hell of a statement. I have a feeling, Dan, that's not really going to, really didn't happen, did it? So you have 12.4 million names listed in the Social Security database that were over 120 years of age, meaning you were breaking records because I've never heard of anybody at 125. There were nearly 135,000 people listed who were over 160 years old. And in some cases, getting payments. So somebody's getting those payments, and we're after that. We're also fighting the menace of inflation to make life more affordable for American seniors, and we've ended Biden's inflation nightmare. So we had the worst inflation in the history of our country, and now our inflation is down to a perfect number, a beautiful number, hardly any at all. And yet our country's taking in tens of billions of dollars and trillions of dollars, actually, trillions of dollars, in tariffs. You know all about it. It's been amazing. They say, why are we taking in so much money. Last week, they found $29 billion, and they couldn't figure out where it came from. I said, check the tariff shelf. And they said, how did you know that's where it came from? We're taking in billions and even trillions of dollars in tariffs.
All right. President Trump giving some remarks there on the anniversary of the Social Security Act. That would be the 90th anniversary of the Social Security Act. And a big chunk of what the president's doing is taking a lot of the corruption and the grift out of Social Security. So well done, Mr. President. We'll bring you a lot of those remarks later tonight on Newsmax. Well, fresh back from Washington, D.C., our good friend and Republican strategist, Luke Symbol. Luke, good to have you with us. So you were in D.C. I'm wondering, did you see all the federal agents and the National Guard?
I did. I saw them all out on the mall the first day that I think that they were out there. Tons of vehicles patrolling, a lot of police. You know, Todd, I was in Washington July 2024, so right about a year ago. I was there for a young Republican leadership conference, getting some training for how we should elect Republicans across the country. And I stayed in the hotel on K Street, and it was between two small city parks. And I could not even walk through the parks because of the number of homeless, human excrement, rats. I mean, it was disgusting. It smelled. And of course, you know, it's the swamp in July, but still, it was just abysmal. And this week, I was walking around the city, yes, sweating profusely, but walking around the city, and it was cleaner. The parks you could walk through, and I saw a total of three homeless people in the parks that were packed a year ago. And it was remarkably different, remarkably.
You know, and that's been a problem for years, you know, that I've been going to Washington. You can't even go outside and enjoy a park, sit on a park bench, because you're right, they're turned into these filthy homeless encampments. Nobody wants to go anywhere near that stuff.
The sidewalks were clean. They must have power washed the gum and the, honestly, I'm sorry to use this word, but feces off of the sidewalks. It was so much cleaner than a year ago, and it gives me a lot of encouragement and hope. If government can't do the basics well, how can we expect them to do anything well? And D.C. is finally under Republican control again, and they're cleaning it up.
I know it's becoming an issue in the states. You've got the governor, the Democrat governor of New Mexico, declaring a state of emergency because of the rampant crime across the entire state of New Mexico. Then here in Tennessee, it's really the number one issue on the campaign trail in the early stages of the gubernatorial race.
That's exactly right. You know, the governor of New Mexico actually sent in the National Guard to Albuquerque. Again, this is a leftist governor. She's pretty far left, but the crime had gotten so bad they had to restore law and order somehow. And, you know, we have a lot of, yes, they're Democrat-led cities, but they are in Republican states. And we mustn't forget that all a government power comes out of state power, right? The federal government is really supposed to get its power from the states, and local government also gets its power from the states. And if we have Republican legislators and Republican governors, they have got to come in and clean up American cities. Enough is enough. The American First agenda, part of that is focusing on the law-abiding Americans first, putting the normal, everyday folks that are trying to get to work, put food on the table, putting them first. And we deserve to be able to use our parks. We deserve to be able to drive down the highways and have them be clean and paved. Let's focus on law-abiding folks first.
As a matter of fact, here's a cab driver in D.C. And if you really want to know what's happening in D.C., you got to talk to the cabbies. Take a listen.
I drove a cab in D.C. I know every inch of the city. To have seen over the years the deterioration of public places, either with graffiti or with people living who are homeless, they say, living on the street. I couldn't be more encouraged by the fact that there are people now that really want to say, stop, let's make this better.
They want to make it better, and I'm glad somebody is.
You're right, and like you mentioned just a minute ago, the gubernatorial race here in Tennessee, you have Senator Marsha Blackburn running against Congressman John Rose, and the crime is really the only issue right now in West Tennessee, in Memphis, in Jackson, and then also Chattanooga. It's a wonderful place to live. I know folks from all over the country are moving there for hiking, outdoor activities. It's close enough to Atlanta. But you get some of that Atlanta crime coming over now into Chattanooga. So it's an issue across the country. And what Republicans have to talk about, ignore the crazy identity politics. Yes, make fun of the left for their insane ideas, but say Republicans are the ones that are going to clean up your streets. Republicans are the ones that are going to get the mentally ill off the streets and get them the help that they need. It's not compassionate to let them live in tents in our parks. And then we can't enjoy our parks, right? We can't take our kids. We can't take our families. We can't go on a stroll at night because we're afraid of what's going to happen. We're cleaning up the streets, Republicans, and it's a winning message.
This afternoon, Governor Gavin Newsom out of California is going to be holding a press conference. We anticipate him announcing he's going to begin redistricting, gerrymandering, and getting rid of the Republican seats. Nine. There are nine seats in California that Republicans hold. Luke, I'm curious. This is my thought, and I think if that happens, then it's gloves off. Every majority Republican state ought to immediately gerrymander.
I totally agree. Republicans, Trump is teaching us how to fight tough. If you remember in 2014, 2015, the Republican Party was really dying. It wasn't connecting. And we had this fighter in Donald Trump come out and shake things up. And he has taught Republicans from the top, from the presidency, obviously, all the way down to the local level, fight for your people. These issues are popular. A very, very small minority of the country may be loud speaking out against you. But even if you get the leftist mainstream media talking out against you, attacking you, the vast majority of folks reading even negative stories are agreeing with your underlying principles. So stay strong, get out and fight. And Republicans, it's time to get it done.
We've got to. If that means James Clyburn, you're gone, pal. Sorry,
yeah.
James. Steve Cohen.
Yep.
There's got to be a way. And what cracks me up is that's how Marsha Blackburn really gained a lot of, I would say, attention, is that her district was gerrymandered from Nashville all the way to the Memphis area.
Yeah, she covered hundreds of miles. You know, Nashville's 200 miles away, all the way here into Memphis. And she, you know what? She made a name for herself going after our Republican governor who was trying to institute a state income
tax. Right.
That's how she became famous in the state of Tennessee. And you've seen her become a fighter on the national level, unapologetically MAGA and putting Americans first. And folks, that is what Republicans have to do across the country. Unapologetically, America first. We are going to take care of the law-abiding citizens of America before anybody else, before any other country, before any other group. It is time to focus on the law-abiding American. And it's encouraging. It really is encouraging to see what Donald Trump is doing cleaning up Washington, D.C.
I will say, Luke, that when you with that mindset, America first, it's like taking care of your own house first.
Yes.
And then helping your neighbors, you know, making sure your own family's needs are met, and then you can help other people. And I think that is a very biblical approach. I think it's a very American approach.
It is. You take care of your household first. Are they clothed? Are they fed? Then you take care of your community, those around you, your neighbors, maybe the old lady down the street who is struggling to pay somebody to mow her lawn. Go out there and mow it. And then you slowly work outwards. But it is time to focus on, you know, we deserve to be able to use our parks. Right. We deserve, we're paying for it. We deserve to be able to drive down the highway and not see trash everywhere. Let's focus, you know, let's rebuild our bridges. Let's rebuild our airports. It's an encouraging message. It's resonating with normal people. And we've got to remember that small faction of the left that is getting increasingly smaller. Yes, perhaps increasingly louder. We can't ignore them and just keep doing what we're doing.
So, you know, that as much as I want to see that, now, I just don't know if we've got the courage to do that. Because really, look, let's just say California ends up redistricting all the Republicans. All right, so that's nine seats. Texas, if they actually follow through, they would pick up five Republicans. We just need four more seats to make up for whatever happened in California.
Yep, Republican states. We have got to look at this. We have got to fight. Literally, the country is at stake, right? I mean, this was really, I think this last administration in 2024 was encouraging, but it was our last shot to reorient America, to get back to really the basics, to begin to focus on America first. And that is what is at stake. And so if Gavin Newsom somehow manages to do that through, I think he has to use a popular referendum, I believe, in the state of California in order to to get that done. He doesn't have the power to do it unilaterally. If, God forbid, he gets the votes to do it, every single, well, actually, even if he doesn't, every single Republican state, it is time to fight and fight back. Courage is contagious. We are winning. We can't let up now.
No, we cannot. Luke Symbol joining us here in studio. Young Republicans, how are things going there, attracting new people to the party?
You know, I think it is going really well. Folks like Charlie Kirk and Turning Point, the Young Republican National Federation, some of these other groups partnering. You know, we have a lot of Turning Point people joining. Our local chapter in Memphis is run by a Turning Point representative who really works in the entire Mid-South promoting conservative principles and getting young people on college campuses to get involved and say, wait a minute, you know, the Democrat Party really doesn't represent me. We're seeing sororities all across the country, those videos on X of the sororities dancing and USA and America flags. It really does feel like there's a revival happening in the country and spiritually as well, but politically, spiritually. And I'm really encouraged. We had a big Young Republican election a couple weeks ago. And even though it was a hard-fought battle, it was the largest convention in 30 years because
wow.
We were engaging on the issues and talking. That is what the Republican Party is all about. We're not just a groupthink organization. And it's been really fun to see. We're growing across the country.
All right. Luke Symbol, always good seeing you. Welcome back to town.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we have to take a quick break here. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. What do you think about that idea? If California redistricts and removes all of their Republican lawmakers, I say we go to war and we start doing that in every state controlled by Republicans. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. You know, what's interesting is the Democrats told us that illegals were not eligible for Social Security benefits, right? Because they're illegal. They haven't put any money into the system. Well, it turns out that was a lie. President Trump just announcing a few moments ago that so far 275,000 illegals have been kicked off of Social Security. This is insane. Just insane, ladies and gentlemen. But again, this is what I voted for. So thank you, Mr. President, for kicking these illegals off of Social Security. You know, we talk a lot about why Social Security is about to go belly up. Well, that's one of the reasons why, because we were funding all of these illegal aliens. But I want to go back to what's about to happen out in California. And Newsom may just be blowing smoke here. I don't think he is. I think he may actually try to do this. It's insane. But if, in fact, he does, then we would risk losing 9 Republican congressional districts in the state of California, which is an insanely low amount. But that's what happens when you gerrymander these districts. We should have more Republican lawmakers in California, but we don't because the Democrats, and I know that they have an independent group that does this, a committee that does it, but they are heavily influenced by the Democrats. But for me, this is very simple. You want to play hardball? Let's play hardball. You want to take away Republican seats in California? Great. We're going to take them away in Florida, in Georgia, in South Carolina, in Tennessee. Let's play that game. Now, the question is, will these Republicans in the state house actually have the moral courage and the fortitude to do something like that? And I don't know. DeSantis definitely. I think he would do something like that. The others, I don't know. We've got a Republican a squish in the Tennessee Capitol. And by the way, you folks in Texas, what's going on there? What's going on? Why haven't we seen Democrats removed from office? This has been going on for 2 weeks now. And I remember talking about this 2 weeks ago, and I said the worst thing that can happen is for the governor and state leaders, all Republican, to get up and to talk the tough talk without backing it up. So where we stand now, Democrats still out of the state or in hiding. Nobody's been arrested. And again, it's not like a criminal arrest, but nobody's been taken into custody. Nobody has lost their seat. There's been no repercussions for what they did. And I have a bad feeling about what's going on in Texas right now. You don't want to demoralize your Republican base in the state of Texas. You just don't want to do that. So anyway, we'll be taking your calls on this. 901-260-5926. Do you think it's time to play gerrymander hardball with the Democrats? By the way, when you get a chance during the break, I would love for you to go and get yourself a signed copy of my new book, Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots, and also the book that came out right before that one. It's called Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? Great books. You're going to love them. And by the way, that little Star Spangled Blessing book makes a wonderful gift for a conservative in your life. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
And welcome, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. By the way, we're expecting to hear from Governor Gavin Newsom. And the rumblings have been that he's going to war against President Trump and the Republican Party. So we're going to keep you updated on all of that as it happens. Great to have you with us today. There's been a lot of controversy and a lot of talk about what's been happening in Las Vegas. Now, I don't know how many folks in our vast audience go to Las Vegas, but the tourism industry is down right now, and people are really struggling. So the hospitality workers are fired up, you know, there, because when you don't have tourism, guess what else you don't have? You don't have tips, and that's a big problem. According to NBC News in Vegas, the slump is having a significant impact on the hospitality industry. Service workers say they've seen a drop in foot traffic along the Vegas Strip, and that's hitting people's pockets very hard because many rely on tips to make ends meet. Sebastian Espinoza works as a busser at Caesar's Palace on an on-call basis, says money is good when he hears the phone ring to pick up a shift, but this year those calls have been very rare. He's applied to other jobs with no luck, even though he's had nearly a decade of hospitality experience. Now, Mr. Espinoza goes on to say that he was thinking of buying a home and starting a family, but that's on hold now as he continues to see money escape his pockets. Southern Nevada has seen a 7% decrease in tourism. There's also been an 18% drop in the number of people flying in from Canada. They're saying it's part of the Trump slump. He also said the idea of no tax on tips does not make any sense if there is no one to tip. Now, others, and again, I understand, you know, you're going to blame President Trump, and that does seem to be a problem. As a matter of fact, CNN's got polling data out, and keep in mind, up until now, all of the polling data from CNN has been incredibly in Trump's favor, incredibly so. But there's a new poll on how Trump is handling the inflation numbers. And, well, take a listen to this report.
Let me just say, this is an abject disaster. abject disaster for the president of the United States. You mentioned it, Jessica. Look, voters on Trump and inflation. He won the 2024 election because he was more entrusted on inflation than Kamala Harris was, led by a margin of 9 points. Look at where his net approval stands today, though, on inflation. My goodness gracious. Into the gutter we go. Underwater we go. He's 25 points underwater. My goodness gracious. That is where the Little Mermaid is, and he is matching the Little Mermaid. That's how far underwater he is on the issue that got him elected. He led on by 9 points on it last year, and now he's 25 points underwater. As I said, this is a complete and total disaster for the president of the United States.
So meanwhile, the president, and a lot of, look, the blame here belongs with the Federal Reserve Chair, Jerome Powell. But, you know, President Trump is the president. The buck stops with him. The president has been at war with Jerome Powell. And the president is now threatening to sue him over the central bank headquarters because of all the renovations. The president has been repeating calls for an immediate cut in interest rates. The consumer price index showed that U.S. inflation in July was milder than expected. And again, this coming from Fortune.com, but it raised political pressure on the bank to ease monetary policy, which they have not done. Trump says that the Fed chair is Jerome Too Late Powell and must now lower the rate. Writing on Truth Social, Powell's oversight of the Fed's $2.5 billion renovation of its headquarters has caused great ire. And Trump says the guy is just not doing his job. And I understand all of that. But going back to Vegas, is that really why people are not going to Sin City? Is that the reason why? I want to play some audio here. This is staggering. A tourist actually decided to show people an actual menu poolside in Las Vegas on how much it would actually cost if you wanted to have an adult beverage, a libation. Take a listen.
Here we go. If you want a bucket of Coors Light, 24 Coors Light's going to run you $290.99. Keep going here. You want Topo Chico, 24 cans, $290. It's all $290.99 for any type of... Oh, they upcharge you on the High Noon. High Noon's going to run you $310 for 24 High Noons. Let's go over to the... You want some mixed cocktails. Cocktail's going to run you $40 for a cocktail. Yep, $40 for a Bloody Mary, watermelon drink. You want shots? You can get 12 shots. You want shots? You're going to get 12 shots for $190. Get ready to spend if you're coming into the Go Pool. Good vibes, though.
Yeah, the good music soundtrack in the background. But wow. So, again, a bucket of 24 Coors Light, that's nearly $300, which is about $10.50 per beer. And the, Dylan, the Bloody Marys, $40 for a Bloody Mary, one drink.
No, thanks. I'll have water. But I bet the water's upcharged, too.
I guarantee you, I bet you the soft drinks are just as expensive, if not more, than the booze. I wonder what a Dr. Pepper will set you back. So it does make you wonder, why is it? I know Fox in Vegas says that tariffs are one of the reasons why international visitors are not showing up. But I have to imagine, there was a time, though, when the average American made up the bulk of the tourist industry there in Vegas. I mean, I've been, and it's, I guess it's okay. It's just they've turned it into basically Times Square. And Times Square is basically an outdoor shopping mall that experience that you could pretty much get anywhere else in America. So why would you want to spend all that money to go and see something that you could see in your hometown? Let's go to San Francisco. David is on the line. Hi, David. Have you been to Vegas lately?
Oh, no, but I'm not a gambler, as that goes. And I find it kind of ironic that, as a semi-religious show, you'd be interested in the gambling economy. And it's even more ironic that Donald Trump, being a casino guy, should understand that the customer is always right, but he's chasing away so many customers from America with his tariffs that nobody wants to show up at the casinos. So I think I've mentioned on your show before, a real conservative, as far as I'm concerned, is slow and steady. Slow and steady wins the race. And a casino guy is take chances, hustle, hustle, and lose your money. And but we're seeing the modern conservative movement act as casino devotees, and they're not slow and steady. And they're taking chances with America instead of slow and steady.
Well, let me correct something here. You mentioned this is a religious show. This is, no, I'm a constitutionalist, and I believe that you have a right in America to live your life however you want to live your life. And Vegas is a huge tourist destination in this country. I don't believe in gambling. It's just a waste of money in my estimation. But I do wonder, David, if the bigger issue, and Trump, by the way, his casinos didn't work out over in Atlantic City, but he also has one heck of a great hotel portfolio, and nobody does hotels like Donald Trump. But let me say this about the casinos. When you start doing away with all the things that were enticing to their base customer, and that base customer was really middle America, David. You had people wanting to escape from the routine and the doldrums of their life. They go to the bright lights of Vegas, and they have all of the comps. You've got the all-you-can-eat buffets, all that kind of stuff, and it's all gone now. And you're having to – I don't think the average American can actually afford to go to what Vegas has now become.
Well, I don't disagree. If you look at the extreme heat that's down there now, and, you know, people trying to suffer through 110 degrees.
It's the desert. It's always been 110 degrees. They built a city in the desert, David.
Oh, I understand that. But if you can imagine, I know a little about architecture and the laws of physics, and when you try to drink a cup of water or flush a toilet and you're up on the 30th floor, it's extremely expensive to pump water way, way, way up in the air. Extremely expensive. It probably costs you $5 it costs the building $5 just to flush a toilet or get a drink of water. And the idea, and as a matter of fact, Trump was complaining because he couldn't get a dribble into his hair in a shower. Well, that's why. If you're the penthouse boy, the costs of living that high up in the sky are extremely expensive, and Vegas is now filled with skyscrapers instead of two-story buildings like in the old days.
But how is that Trump's fault?
Well, what's interesting, though, is that you remember just a couple of months ago, Donald Trump was trying to change. I think he actually did an executive order to make showers come out at a heavier stream. Well, that's putting those costs on the taxpayer. That instead of somebody dumb building a building so tall that it's extremely expensive to bring the water up there, but then to make the taxpayers pay for that stupidity, if you're way up in the desert, what is it you're looking at?
Well, no. Here's the problem. Here's the problem with that argument there, David, and the whole idea of making shower heads great again. Under Obama, the government actually went in and determined that they're the ones who defined exactly how much water could come out of a shower head, that nozzle. The government. And the whole point of being a conservative is to keep government out of your life. And the idea that the government's going to come in and tell you how much water can come out of your nozzle in your shower is just insane. And it was part of that radical green agenda that just made life a lot worse for everybody. And by the way, Trump isn't the only guy who likes a good stream of water coming out of the shower head. LBJ was notorious about that back in the day, and it freaked out the White House staff because he demanded that they have a shower. The amount of water pressure coming out of that shower, it could have knocked a child into the next room. But that was LBJ. All right, David, appreciate the call. I don't think it's Trump's fault what's happening in Vegas. I think the fact of the matter is that these big corporations are coming in and they're trying to squeeze every single dollar out of people, and people just can't afford it. They can't afford a $40, you know, Bloody Mary, for crying out loud, or a $25 Dr. Pepper. You got to miss the good old days when the mob ran the place, because the mob, they knew everybody. I don't know how they managed to do it, but when you came into a casino, people knew your name. They knew your favorite foods. You'd get a comped room. And now it's just like a cheap version of wherever you want to be in America. And the luster's worn off, I think, for a lot of people. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. And if you think it's expensive at Vegas, try taking your family to Disney World and see how much that'll set you back. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Great to have you with us. Let's go to the phone lines. Janet in Georgia. Hi, Janet. What's on your mind today?
Good afternoon, Todd. I love your show. Just responding to David and the negative comment about Trump's tariffs. This morning, our brilliant Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, announced that Trump's tariffs could bring in over $300 billion from tariffs, probably and possibly even more so. And think about this. Imagine, Todd, what could be done for us people as far as infrastructure, et cetera, with this kind of money that's being brought in.
Janet, it's really a game changer. And, you know, the president is, I mean, the numbers are far exceeding what anybody really expected or anticipated, and if those numbers continue, the president's talking about even giving taxpayers some sort of a rebate.
Absolutely. I mean, people just need to wake up and take the blinders off and realize Trump is a businessman first. He's a politician second, and he knows what he's doing. And as you know, that adage, the proof's in the pudding.
The proof is in the pudding. And the challenge in Vegas is that pudding is like $75 a bowl. So, you know, who can afford that?
I mean, who in an average middle-class person could not afford to go to Vegas and sit by a pool and have one cocktail? Not the average middle-class hardworking people. Now, if you're a millionaire and a billionaire, that might, you know, be absolutely different. But we have to just call it for what it is and see it, you know, see reality for what reality really is.
It's a fair point, Janet. And the, you know, the other part of it is there are casinos all over the place now. I mean, here in the South, we have, you know, West Memphis, Arkansas. You've got a beautiful new casino there. Down in Biloxi, Mississippi, you've got casinos there. Tunica, not to mention, of course, Atlantic City, which is starting to see somewhat of a rebirth.
Oh, absolutely. And my one last comment, and I'm sure you'll agree with this, you could do 500 right things. You're never going to hear anything about it. You do one negative thing that stands out or that people don't like, and that's what's going to be focused on.
Oh, no doubt about that. Yeah, no, Janet, no doubt about that. And again, the president, his hands are somewhat tied with Jerome Powell. But look, we're going to be able to, this is all going to work out. And I think the American people are going to give President Trump another, you know, I think they're going to give the Republicans another go at it at the midterms. But we have got to make sure that Congress stays loyal to the president's agenda, and we've got to get those nominees confirmed. The idea that Majority Leader John Thune sent everybody home on vacation before that work was done, yeah, that's just not right in my book. Janet, we got to leave it there. Thank you for calling in. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. In the break, head over to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. I want you to check out the nation's only Christian and conservative wireless carrier. They have incredible coverage. All of their customer service team based right here in the United States of America. And they've got awesome deals, especially for military veterans and our first responder families. Again, PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Give them a call. Check them out today, folks. We'll be right back. All right, folks, a big event coming up next Tuesday in Sumner County, Tennessee. That's right outside of Nashville and Hendersonville, Tennessee. I'll be speaking and signing books, courtesy of our friends at Americans for Prosperity. They are hosting a pizza and politics event at Jolly Ollie's. Wow, that sounds like a pretty fun place. It is coming up on Tuesday, August 19th, 6 to 8 o'clock. We'd love for you to come out, and the best part about it is that they're picking up the tab for the pizza and the wings in the first round. So that's a really nice deal. So if you'd like information, you can go to Americans for Prosperity. Also, I posted some information on our Facebook page, and you can register there. It is absolutely free, so you don't have to pay anything. We want you to come out and enjoy a great night, laughter, great books, great pizza, and great politics as well. Going to be a lot of fun. All right, our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. A caller on The Breakfast Club, which is a very popular radio show in within the black community in radio, and a caller took the host to task over their take on D.C. crime. And this goes back to something an earlier caller said, is that a very large segment of the black population is enraged over all of this crime, and they're tired of it. But their elected leaders are playing politics, and they don't like that. Take a listen to Cut 5.
I'm just trying to, you know, come to some common sense about this whole D.C. thing. You know, across the nation, they need to do the exact same thing that they're doing. I'm from Milwaukee, and, you know, the YN is everywhere. When you got people like me working hard, grinding, getting to it, paying mortgages, paying multiple things, sending kids to school, why should we be disrupted by a YN that got nothing going for themselves? Y'all need to show some common sense when it comes to these stuff that he's trying to put in place, man. I don't agree with everything, but guess what? This is common sense, man. Y'all know it's bad out there, but y'all need to speak to that sometimes. Y'all try to avoid that.
No, we don't at all. Y'all just don't like our solutions. I don't think we need to live in a police state. Can we try giving some of these little YNs some resources? Can we try putting these kids in trade school, giving them some proper mental health resources, making the schools better? Can we make sure they got some food in their stomach so they don't have to resort to things like crime? Can we try that first? Because there's a lot of people in the communities that are down to implement things like that, but they need the funding. That's why I get mad at these mayors and these local officials who know how to fix the problems, but they, for whatever reason, choose not to.
I'll take it a step further, and I don't like the gun laws and the fact that you could buy an AR-15, buy a little switch, and be able to shoot 30 rounds at in a second. I don't like half of those things. I don't think, even if you're hunting, I don't think you need to shoot a deer 30 times. That's just what I feel. But
I love the gun laws. I love the gun laws, exactly how they are, because guess what? I gotta protect mine, and I gotta,
and I'm not
mad
at that.
Do my thing, but, you know,
I got a couple of firearms, but I don't think
can respect
when you see AR-15s and stuff like that.
I can respect everybody's view, Envy and Charlotte, and good morning, everybody. And it's no disrespect, but at the end of the day, I had these resources growing up. I grew up in the hood. I grew up wilding. But guess what? It's a line. It's a point where you gotta realize what's going on, man. And we gotta take back control, man. Like, y'all can't let the youngest run the country, bro. That's just plain and simple.
I agree. I agree
100%. Bro, it's YMCAs. It's everything, bro. I don't want to hear nothing about no resources, bro.
No, that's
it's,
not, it, that's not, my brother, that's not doing, true. Bro. Yo, brother, nah. That's not, the YMCA is getting shut down. The community center is getting shut down. The rec center is getting shut down. We gotta stop acting like when those things happen, it's not a direct impact on them little YNs. They don't have things to do. They're getting rid of things like Job Corps. Yeah. Remember back in the day when we was young, they would send our little asses the Job Corps.
Yeah, and then not getting rid of a lot of that stuff is already gone. Already gone.
Hey, I can respect everybody's opinion, but y'all know some of this come down to the parents as well, bro.
And
we need
to
parents
for sure.
Because at the end of the day, bro, Black folks got common sense, bro. Y'all know right from wrong. Y'all need to chill out, man, or get y'all, man, let me just chill out. But I don't expect anything, you know.
No,
y'all seem to avoid the hot topic though, bro. Like, black people are killed by black people in massive numbers, bro. Like, come on, wake up, my brother.
But people don't want to talk about that, and I'm glad the caller did, because all life matters. Everybody's life matters. But the reality is, even within the Black Lives Matter movement, black lives really don't matter, because it's black-on-black crime, and nobody wants to talk about that. We do on this program. We talk about all the issues you're not supposed to talk about on this program. And if you don't talk about them, if you don't address these issues, how are you ever going to fix the problem? That's what I want to know. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. All right, you're going to hear from a liberal white chick, and she's a restaurant server, and she is the prototypical liberal woman. And she says that she just simply refuses to serve anybody who is a Trump supporter. Take a listen.
What a day. What a week. We had a guy come in today wearing a mega hat, and I walked away from the register, and I said, nope, not waiting on him, not handing him food, not making him food, absolutely not. Yeah, I have a red shirt on, but it's my work shirt, and my company's on the side, but other than that, I don't think I really own any red shirts. It's all dark. But I'm like, no, and honestly, anytime anyone does walk in with a hat like that on, I walk away. I don't care if I get it right now. I don't care. If you have the balls to wear that around, especially with everything that's been going on lately, you're an idiot. And I'm not going to wait on you. It's not going to happen.
And she's not the only one. It's just really surprising that you have that many people out there. And I hope that the folks, and she never identified where she was, but you know somebody's going to know. They need to let the owner of that establishment be aware of that. And I suspect that that woman will be out there on the unemployment line, much like the DOJ guy who threw the Subway sandwich at a federal agent. Man, that guy completely screwed up. He is going to jail for a very, very long time. All right. There's a story out of New Jersey. And I'm just curious, how many of you still let your children, your daughters, participate in the Girl Scouts? That is a lost cause in my book. But there are still a lot of conservatives, and they want their daughters to experience Girl Scouts. Maybe they were in Scouts. Same thing on the Boy Scout side. On this program, we support two organizations. One is called Trail Life USA. They are the Christian male alternative to the Boy Scouts, which is not even the Boy Scouts anymore. They're just the Scouts. And then there's a group called American Heritage Girls, and they are an incredible Christian conservative version of or alternative to the Girl Scouts. So anyway, there's a lady, and she's going to be on my Newsmax show tonight. Her name is Alexandra Bauer, and she is a Moms for Liberty leader in New Jersey. She's also a longtime leader in the Girl Scouts. She has been a Girl Scout troop leader and in larger leadership positions for the past 7 years, and so she's been really involved in Girl Scouts. So anyway, a couple of weeks ago, she was raising some concerns about something she noticed, and she noticed the Girl Scouts were actually embracing LGBT activism. And she asked some questions about that, like, what are we doing here? Why does the Girl Scouts need to be involved in any of this? Apparently, the Girl Scouts also decided to introduce a gender and sexuality club to sixth grade girls without any parental notification at all. And that's what really set Mrs. Bauer off. The Gender and Sexuality Alliance had hosted this transgender activist, a teenage boy pretending to be a teenage girl. And this young man actually held very frank and open discussions about sexuality and what it was like to be transgender with these sixth grade girls. And parents were excluded from the invitation. So moms and dads had no idea that this was going on. So Mrs. Bauer said this is outrageous and this cannot happen again. Other concerned parents also pointed out that there's absolutely no reason whatsoever to discuss anything of a sexual nature with children at any time. And that's when the Girl Scout sent her an email and said, you know what, you're fired. You're fired from your volunteer position. And it's insane. We're going to have her on Newsmax tonight, Newsmax rather, later tonight to share her story with us. But it's probably all for the best because now the Girl Scouts are featuring what they're calling a transgender patch. Have you ever heard of such a thing? So you get the little patches, and for LGBT Pride Month, you get a transgender patch. I don't want to know what the kids have to do to get that. I really don't. So again, my recommendation, ladies and gentlemen, the Girl Scouts that you were a part of, the Boy Scouts that you were a part of, those days are gone now. Those are not safe organizations for children in America. Not anymore. Not anymore. They were, but they're not anymore. So my recommendation is, again, go check out Trail Life USA, a fine organization, American Heritage Girls. You're going to love both of these groups. They are just spot on, and they're focused on the mission at hand, not shoving some sort of a radical sex agenda down the throats of your kids. All right, we've got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. Some of you may be familiar with American Heritage Girls and Trail Life. And if you are, give us a call. I'm sure parents are curious about the alternatives out there because we definitely need them. We'll be right back. All right, Hunter Biden's back in the headlines, and he's very upset, and he's refusing to apologize for defaming our beautiful First Lady, Melania Trump. And Melania is now threatening to sue, and I hope she does. So Hunter Biden is refusing to apologize for making what her lawyer described as false, defamatory, disparaging, and inflammatory statements suggesting that she was tied to Jeffrey Epstein. As a matter of fact, Hunter Biden suggested to a podcaster that Jeffrey Epstein had introduced Melania to President Trump, which turns out not to be true. And so people are now demanding within the Trump circle and the Trump orbit are demanding a full apology and retraction. Hunter Biden was given the opportunity to apologize and he declined to do so. He said, but now here we are and I've got a $1 billion document in my hands because Mrs. Trump is seeking $1 billion in damages if we don't take down the video. And if Hunter here doesn't issue a formal apology to Mrs. Trump. This is coming from the host, Andrew Callaghan. So now we're here maybe to give you, Hunter, the platform to apologize to the First Lady for your statements that you made about her possible connection to Jeffrey Epstein. And Hunter Biden replied, blank that, that's not going to happen. That's insane. Hunter says that I don't think these threats of a lawsuit add up to anything other than a designed distraction because it's not about who introduced whom to who. I don't know how that in any way rises to the level of defamation to begin with because Jeffrey Epstein was a pedophile, you crackhead. He goes on to say, I don't believe in guilt by association alone, but the connections have become so glaringly obvious that I think they're trying to use other things to distract. Hunter also said he thinks they are bullies and believe $1 billion will scare him. Hunter said if they want to sit down for a deposition and clarify the nature of the relationship between Jeffrey Epstein as president, if the First Lady wants to do that, I'm more than happy to provide them the platform to be able to do it. You know, this is pretty rich coming from a guy who was videoed and photographed with all sorts of crazy women and various and sundry positions, snorting this, smoking that. The guy's he's a complete sleazeball loser, and here he is making these unfounded accusations against Melania Trump. So what do you think? What do you think Trump ought to do, or Mrs. Trump ought to do? Should she follow through on the threat and sue the living daylights out of Hunter Biden? I know I sure would. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Unbelievable what's going on. All right, I want to play some audio here. This is from Gloria Romero. Now, Gavin Newsom is, we're waiting for his remarks. It may or may not happen now at this during our show. Anyway, Newsom is going to be announcing his plan to redistrict the state of California. But I told you early on, this is nothing more than political theater. And here's the reason why. You're about to hear from Gloria Romero, who is a former California state Democrat leader in the Senate. She's left the party. Here's Gloria.
What's interesting is that right now, the California legislature is on vacation, summer recess. They come back on Monday, and then within 5 days, suddenly, they are supposed to produce maps. This is sort of the ultimate, like an immaculate conception of redistricting, where within 5 days, no public hearings, no visibility, they're suddenly going to produce maps. All of this is already being penciled in backroom meetings controlled by Gavin Newsom and his cronies.
Yeah, there you go. So today, political theater. I don't think he's going to be able to do it at the end of the day, because an overwhelming majority of voters, is a poll that came out yesterday, an overwhelming number of voters in California oppose this. They don't want redistricting. So this is going to fly in the face of the majority of the people of California. Now, here's an interesting piece. We're going to try to get to this. There was a debate on CNN about slavery, and Jillian Michaels was the conservative voice here on the panel. Take a listen to Cut 15.
On into the Smithsonian, and he's effectively now has some random person deciding what is appropriate for the Smithsonian to teach in terms of American history, things that don't offend parts of the MAGA base, right? So we're now literally reviewing parts of American history and parts of American culture to make sure it comports with Dear Leader and what the MAGA organization
wants. Can we address
wants.
Some of those things that are in there? Because have you looked at some of the things that are being
slavery,
reviewed?
Yeah, slavery was a bad thing that was to talk about.
Okay.
He's
not whitewashing slavery.
He's not.
And you cannot tie imperialism and racism and slavery to just one race, which is pretty much what every single exhibit does. But let's talk about the fact that when you
look at
slavery, let's talk about the fact
that slavery in America was.
Do you realize that only less than 2% of white Americans owned slaves?
But it was a system of white supremacy.
You realize that slavery is thousands of years old.
White people were.
Do you know who in America was the first race to try to end slavery?
Wait a second.
Well, what's controversial?
Okay, let me jump in here because it's hard to understand who's talking over who here. The reality is that, and again, Jillian Michaels was triggering people here, but in truth, it was the African kings and rulers who were involved in the slave trade. They're the ones who facilitated the slave trade. And so we'll get into this some other time. It's a fascinating story. But again, if you're going to tell the story of slavery, which I'm all in favor of, you've got to tell the whole story. You can't just pick parts that you agree with. All right, we've got to scoot out of here, folks. We'll see you tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, on The Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. Be good, America.